ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. सो उपनिषत् the introduction to the Upanishad study is actually introduction to all the Upanishads. Whether we study Mundaka or Mandukya or any other Upanishad, introduction to the Vedanta Shastram is introduction to the Upanishads. Study of Upanishads is study of the Veda. Even though it is not the entire Veda, because Upanishad is a part of the Veda, you know very well. So last class I made it very clear, the entire Veda is Pramana Granthaha, valid means of knowledge. It is divided into three parts as Karma Kandaha, Upasana Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha. So Karma Kandaha is the voluminous portion dealing with all forms of rituals and the know-how of rituals and the results of rituals. So knowledge of Karma Kanda will be effective only if knowledge is implemented in the form of performance of a ritual. And the middle part is called Upasana Kandaha, which teaches us various meditations, upasanas. And Jnana Kandaha is the last small portion consisting of Upanishads called Veda Anta Shastram. We saw all this. And Vedanta Shastram, Jnana Kandaha or Upanishads serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. So Pramana Granthaha, even the entire Veda is a Pramana Granthaha, Veda Anta Shastram is a Pramanam, a means of knowledge of the truth, reality. And the truth is implied by the term Brahma or Atma. And the truth of what, if you ask, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of three factors, the seeming factors, Jivaha, Jagat and Ishwaraha. Jivaha is every individual being which forms part of the whole cosmos is Jivaha. And the whole cosmos is Jagat, and Ishwaraha, the Lord, the creator of Jiva and Ishwara, whom we worship and pray to. We have an understanding there is Ishwara, the Lord, because we do not know how we came into existence, how the universe has come into existence. We have no idea. We are here as enjoyers of the world, experiencers of the world. And there's a world in front of us. Therefore, we see, I am here, the world is. There must be the Lord from whom everything must have come into existence, the creator of the universe. Therefore, when we do not understand who the Lord is, what the Lord is, we only believe this God based on the fact that we are experiencing the world, based on the fact that we are capable of experiencing the world, we understand the fact that there is God. But we do not know who God is, what God is. We know the universe is, but we do not know what this universe is essentially. We know we are, but we do not know what we are essentially. Therefore, there is I am here as an individual. There is a world, an object of experience, and there is Ishvara. Jivaha, Jagat, Ishvaraha. All the three are different in our perception, in our understanding. I am different from the world. World is different from me, and the God who created the world is different from the world and the individual. Therefore, there's jiva-jiva-bhedaha, difference between the jivas. There's jiva-ishvara-bhedaha, there's difference between jiva and ishvara. Jiva-jagat-bhedaha, there's difference between jiva and jagat. There's difference between jagat and ishvara. Like, all these differences are very clear for us. Without studying any shastram, studying anything, we are very clear about the differences being there between universe and the Lord, me and the Lord, individual and the individual, individual and the world, like we have these differences. And Upanishad teaches us this greatest fact of oneness of the truth of Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. There is no Ishvara without the truth. There is no Jagat without the truth. There is no Jiva without the truth. All the three are resolvable in one truth. Which means there is no Ishvara, Jagat or Jiva other than the truth. Jiva status is Mithya. Ishvara status is Mithya. Even the Jagat is Mithya. What is Satyam, which is Atma or Brahma. And that true Brahma, you are that Brahma. The Brahman is available for recognition as your own real nature, as yourself. This is what Upanishad teaches. Upanishad teaches us the oneness of the truth of Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. We will resolve Jiva in the Jiva status in the truth. Resolve Ishvara status in the truth. We can resolve even Jagat in the reality. We'll say what is there is only the truth. This is the greatest, most abstract, subtlest fact. And this is the fact. It is not a matter for belief. It is not a matter for belief. It is not non-verifiable belief. It is a verifiable fact. Fact can be understood. We can enjoy the benefit of understanding the fact. And what is the benefit? The benefit is every individual can resolve one's individuality. Cognitively, by resolving the individuality, one can see one's essential nature being the truth, which is Satyam. By shifting one's identity from anatma, body, mind, sense complex, the material matter to the consciousness, one can resolve all the wrong notions one has about oneself. By resolving the wrong notions one entertains about oneself, one can resolve the problems caused by wrong identity and wrong notions. All the problems, the human suffering, the human samsara, the human misery is purely because of the wrong notions caused by wrong perception, ultimately caused by ignorance. Therefore, this vision of oneness of the truth will help one resolve one's individuality, thereby resolve all wrong notions and the notion caused to samsara, which is the discovery of freedom. Therefore, jnanam itself is moksha. This knowledge of the oneness of the truth, vision of oneness of the truth itself is freedom, which is an absolute human end, human goal. Therefore, Upanishad has to be studied. And we saw last class, even the textbook Upanishad itself means knowledge of the truth, Brahma Vidya. And the word actually implies the meaning by presenting the two functions of Brahma Vidya. And we saw how the two components of the word Upanishad, we derive this meaning. The textbook also, I said, is called Brahma Vidya because textbook serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. So you know very well now, very clearly, the two meanings of the word Upanishad. One meaning is mukhyartha, another meaning is secondary meaning, vachya. Mukhyartha, primary meaning and secondary meaning. The main meaning, the primary meaning is Brahma Vidya. Okay. Now, we thought we'll start our study, Upanishad study, properly from the Mundaka, study of Mundaka Upanishad, the order. There is an order how we should study Upanishads. If we do not study the simple Upanishads, we cannot study the big Upanishads. In alphabetical order, it starts with the Ishavasya Upanishad. Isha Kena Kata Prashna Mundaka Mandukya. It comes like that. But Pujya Swamiji always in our courses, he starts with the Mundaka Upanishad. Therefore, I thought let us start with Mundaka Upanishad. This Mundaka Upanishad, if you break the word Mundaka Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad. This Upanishad is known as Mundaka Upanishad because the subject matter of Upanishad is very subtle. It's supposed to be studied by a mature individual. Relatively mature individual can study, has to study Upanishad in order to become absolutely mature individual. Study of Upanishads will bless a person with the clear vision of the truth. A person who has the vision of the truth will have a different perspective of the world and the self, and he is said to be the most mature individual. One who doesn't allow oneself to be afflicted by the world, the situations, is the most mature individual. A person cannot become more mature than a wise person. Wise person is the one who is endowed with the knowledge of the truth as one's own self. One who has knowledge of the truth, obtaining as one's own self, is the wise person and he is the most mature. For a person to become the most mature, one must be relatively mature. A totally immature person cannot become totally, absolutely mature individual overnight. The growth must happen gradually. Therefore, a person who is relatively mature, who alone is qualified to become absolutely, totally mature, is supposed to study the Upanishad. An immature person, even if he studies, he may not enjoy the benefit of the study of the Upanishad. Therefore, Shastram emphasizes that every individual should take care of one's maturity in order to become eligible to study the Upanishad, thereby to understand the teaching, to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. And for which also the Shastram teaches the way of life. There is a way of life presented by the Shastram and supposed to follow that way of life in order to become adequately mature, to be eligible to understand the teaching, to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. Anyway, so by studying Upanishads, as I said, we're supposed to have the vision. And here, the word Mundaka, Mundakaha stands for the person who is relatively mature person. Mundanam means shaving one's head. Mundanam means actually the removing one's hair. It's called a mundanam. And the mundaka is the person who has removed his hair. There are some people effortlessly, there are some people you can make out. Our Thiru is missing, Adniji is sitting. Okay, Thiru is also there. Okay. Some people who need not make effort to remove the hair. That doesn't mean they're all. Shastram says, removing the hair always is a ritual. When a person is desperate to study Upanishad, who is desperate to know the truth, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. The person who knows the value of the teaching, who wants to know the truth, who is desperate, such a mature, and why he knows the value of moksha, he knows the value of accomplishing the end, he knows the value of jnanam, therefore he knows the value of shastra study, and becomes committed to the pursuit of the study, to the exclusion of all other pursuits, such a person is supposed to go through a ritual called shirovratam. We'll talk about later on. We'll be seeing in the class itself when we actually touch the book. Next week, maybe we'll touch the book. So Tom, don't worry. I'll send you the books. Okay. We'll arrange for me to get the books. Now, the Shirovrata means supposed to shave. The student who wants to study, supposed to have remove his hair. If we don't have this different problem, don't need to worry. I had to completely remove the hair first. And the mundanam is his exlis, which means it shows his commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. What is the ritual called the shirovrata, etc.? I'll explain to you next week. Understand now this much. It shows a person's maturity. The person's commitment is totally to the pursuit of knowledge. That he is prepared to go through that ritual and his dispassion towards everything else is expressed through his going through this ritual. Therefore, Mundaka Upanishad means Upanishad, which is to be studied by a mature individual, is known by the term, known by the word Mundaka Upanishad. I'll explain the meaning of Mundaka again next class. Now, and this much is enough. The mature individual. Why a mature individual is revealed here as the one who has got his, one who has shaven his head. Okay. Therefore, it is called Mundaka Upanishad. There's no specific reason. Upanishad is known by the term Mundaka Upanishad because it is supposed to be studied by a mature individual. Now the question may arise, oh, I am not mature enough, then am I not eligible to study the Upanishad? No, we don't need to have any doubt. Even if you are not mature enough, when we understand this and we try to, we should make all possible efforts to become mature. We know the value of the teaching, naturally we will become adequately mature. Only after the attainment of jnanam, we will be absolutely mature. Until then, we are people who wait to become mature. With understanding, let us begin the study today. And this Mundaka Upanishad belongs to Atharva Vedaha. Atharva Veda Upanishad. We know we have four Vedas. Each Veda has Upanishads. And this Mundaka Upanishad belongs to Atharva Veda. Therefore, we are supposed to study this Upanishad with a prayer, Shanti Mantraha. The Shanti Mantra of Atharva Veda. We all know very well Atharva Veda Shanti Pataha. Because every day we have been chanting Ganapati Atharva Sirsha Upanishad. Therefore we know the Atharva Veda Shanti Pataha very well. I need not teach. We already know. But still, we are starting the Upanishad, so let us do the Atharva Veda Shanti Pataha. Om Bhadrang Karne Bhishrunu Yama Deva Bhadram Pashye Makshabharya Jatra Sthirai Rangai Istushtu Vagam Sastra तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैयदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. See, we have given word by word meaning, the gist of meaning, explanation, everything. The meaning of this Shanti Mantra is available on our website under the Ganapati Atharva Sirsha Upanishad. You can take the printout and read it also, or you can read simply there itself. But still, I will explain to you today. And you all know why we do any Shanti Pataha, Shanti Mantraha. Shanti Pataha means peace invocation. A mantra chanted before we begin to study any Upanishad or study of any scripture. Yajurveda Shanti Pataha is very popular. All of us know Yajurveda Shanti Pataha Sahana Bhavatu. And Atharveda Shanti Pataha. And every Shanti Pataha ends with the expression Shantihi three times. And you know why Shantihi is uttered three times? Because there will be obstacle inevitably in any pursuit, in any endeavor. And in pursuit of knowledge also, there will be pratibandhas, obstacles. And pratibandhas are actually caused by our own prarabdha papa karma. Okay. Always, any obstacle is, in anything you want to achieve, obstacle will be there, caused by the pratibandha, caused by our own papa karma phalam. And pratibandha, when the obstacle is, obstacle will not create joy, will not be happiness. Obstacle is pain. Obstacle definitely will result in pain. I want to achieve this, I'm not able to achieve this, means a pain, to suffering. It can, in keeping with your, the intensity of your desire you want to achieve, the more pain also you will have. Therefore, pain is always caused by obstacle. And the obstacle has its own source. What is the obstacle? The source of obstacle can be your own body, mind, sense complex. Source of obstacle can be anything in the world associated with you. People, friends, I mean relatives, family members, or pets, associates, or any source of income, pleasure, anything. So anything and everything in the world other than yourself can become a source of obstacle. Otherwise, neither you, neither your body maintenance complex, nor the world associated with you, the world of people, but the natural crisis, natural calamities, over which we do not have any say at all, also can become a source of obstacle. So if your own body maintenance complex become a source of obstacle, then the pain caused by the obstacle for which the source is your own body maintenance complex, your own physical illness, etc., is called adhyatmika tapaha. Tapaha means heat. And pain is also likened to a heat, because pain also can scorch the mind. That is why sometimes we go mad. People, always heat will drive people. When too much of heat we experience, when you feel, you don't feel comfortable. Similarly, the pain also scorches the mind, but pain is also likened to a heat. And the pain caused by obstacle for which the source is your own body mind's complex, the pain is called adhyatmika tapaha. The pain is caused by an obstacle for which the source is anything other than yourself, then that pain is called adhibhautika tapaha. But if pain is caused by obstacle for which the source is natural calamities, natural crisis, then we call it adhi daivika tapaha. Suppose tempest happens, rains happen, floods happen, a drought happens, or some cyclone happens, tsunami happens, something happens. Because of which the obstacle, you're not able to do what you want to do, not able to achieve what you want to achieve, then there's a pain. So pain caused by an obstacle for which the source is natural crisis, natural calamities. Then that pain is called adi daivika tapaha. Like that, any number of obstacles can be there. For all the obstacles, there are only three sources. Number of obstacles can be many, many, many. But for all the obstacles, how many sources are there? Only three sources. Yourself, the world, than the natural crisis, calamities. Therefore, the pain caused by obstacles arising from three different sources also is given three different names as Adhyatmika Tapaha, Adibhautika Tapaha, Adidaivika Tapaha. And to ward off all the pain caused by all obstacles arising from three different sources, we say Shantihi three times. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Now you can know, because you all understand Sanskritam very well. Tapatrayam. We don't have threefold pain, you know. Tapatrayam. This is very important. We don't have three. Pain is one. Obstacles are many. But sources of obstacles are only three. Therefore, we say tapatrayam. And tapatraya nivaranartham. Tapatraya nivrityartham. Nivaranam gerund. Nivrittihi, also noun, feminine gender word. Nivrittihi, feminine noun. Nivaranam, neuter noun. Tapatraya nivaranartham. Tapatraya nivrityartham. For the removal of pain caused by any number of obstacles arising from three different sources, we say what? Trivara Shantihi. Three times we say Shantihi. This is the purpose of doing any Shanti Pata. This is the meaning for doing any Shanti Pata. Okay. But when generally in Shanti Mantra, we always pray for good physical health. We pray for good emotional health, emotional well-being. We must be physically sound and strong, emotionally healthy. A person is physically strong, emotionally not healthy, the teaching will not be effective. A person cannot enjoy the benefit of the teaching, cannot even understand the teaching. The person is emotionally okay, but physically very unhealthy. Then also, it is not possible for a person to have the teaching. For a person to be able to understand the teaching, retain the teaching, repeatedly dwell upon the teaching, ascertain the teaching, that we enjoy the benefit of the teaching, a person must be physically healthy, mentally healthy, mentally strong. Health strong and healthy physically and mentally. Therefore, we always, in all the Shanti Patas, definitely there's a prayer for physical, emotional well-being. And we seek the grace of Devatas, different phenomena which govern different factors in the creation. The general understanding of the Shanti Patha. And here we pray to, of course we pray to Bhagavan in the form of Devatas. We pray to Bhagavan, the Lord. So here we say, Bhadram Karnebihi Shunuyama. So, Shrunuyama. So, Shrunumaha, we listen. Shrunuyama, may we listen. Ling, may we listen. Shrunuyama. A particular verb. So, Shrunuyama, may we listen. What? Bhadram. Shrunuyama, may we listen. And when we listen, how do we listen? Only through the ears. We can never listen through eyes or nose. Listening is only through the ears. For karnebhihi. Actually, in in conventional language, it must be karnaihi, through our ears. You all know very well now, it must have been in conventional language, karnaihi is the correct expression. Through 2 years means karnabhyam. Through our ears means karnaihi. But here it is karne, karne, bihi is there. It is chandasa prayogaha. It is Vedic expression. In conventional language, if we say karne bihi, it is wrong. But in Vedic language, we should correct it. Karne bihi is equal to karnaihi or karnabhyam. May we listen through our ears. Bhadram. Bhadram is an expression which means auspiciousness. Bhadram means auspiciousness. So you say, may we listen to the auspicious words. May we listen to auspicious things. May we listen to auspicious things means whatever we listen should be supportive of our pursuit of knowledge. Anything which distracts us from our study, anything which distracts us from our listening, understanding of the teaching, anything which disturbs us from our study is inauspicious. What is inauspicious? Anything which distracts us from our commitment to the pursuit of study, knowledge. Anything which distracts us from our study, anything that disturbs our study is what? Inauspicious. Because it will take us away from our attainment of knowledge. Therefore, here the prayer to Bhagavan, we do not have any say over what comes and falls into our ears. We do not have say, uncontrollable. The words which are going to fall into our ears are uncontrollable. We do not have any say over that. Unpredictable, uncontrollable. So we seek Bhagavan's grace. O Lord, because the objects reach our minds can disturb us. We seek Bhagavan's grace not to hear anything inauspicious which will distract us and disturb us from our pursuit of knowledge, study of the scripture. The prayer is, O Lord, may we listen to the auspicious words through our ears. So whatever we listen must be conducive and supportive of our study. That's the prayer. Bhadram karne vishrunuya madevaha. Addressing devaha. So Bhagavan in the form of all natural phenomena are devas here. So, O devaha, he devaha, vocative plural. He devaha, O devas, may we listen to only auspicious words. Bless us with auspiciousness. Next, bhadram. Bhadram pashye maksha bharyajatra. Bhadram pashye ma akshabhihi yajatraha. Bhadram pashye ma akshabhihi yajatraha. Again, akshabhihi. Akshabhihi through our eyes. Akshabihi, through our eyes, with our eyes. Pashyema, may we see. May we see through our eyes. What? Bhadram. Whatever we see also, the objects we see through our eyes also can distract us, disturb us, can really take us away, attention away from Shastra study and our commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. That is why here may we not see anything inauspicious. May we see through our eyes only auspicious things which will be conducive and supportive of our pursuit, which will not distract us from our pursuit of knowledge and study, Shastra study. Therefore, and whom do we seek? We pray to, Bhagavan in the form of Devatas. So first we saw Devaha, and the same word, Yajatraha. Yajatraha is a synonym of the word Devaha. Yajatraha is a synonym of the word Devaha. Yajatraha also means Devaha. Why Devaha is called Yajatraha? Why Devaha is called Devaha? Every natural phenomenon in Vedic tradition, Vedic culture is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness. Sun is not inert matter. Moon is not inert matter. Space is not inert matter. For a Vedanti, everything is manifestation of consciousness, illumination of consciousness. Therefore, everything is Ishvara. Everything, every phenomenon is called Devaha. Divyati iti Devaha. The one who shines. That which shines. Therefore, Devaha, all Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena. We invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena, addressing them as what? Devaha. O Devaha, may we see only auspicious things through our eyes. But same Devaha are known as Yajatraha here. Why Devaha is called Yajatraha? Devaha is known as Yajatraha. Because, the word root yaj, yajate means worships. Yajate worships. Yajati worships. So upayapadi. Yajate or yajati. Yajate, yajati means worships. And yajan, gachan, patan, likan. You learn this word. Now yajan means worshipper. Takarantaha pullingaha yajat shabdaha. In nominative plural is what? Yajan, yajantau, yajantaha. Yajantam, yajantau, yajataha. Yajataha, objective plural. Yajan, yajataha, or yajantam, trayate, iti yajatraha. Deva, 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 devaha. All devas protect those who worship them. If we worship devas, devas will protect us. If we respect other natural phenomena, and if we live our lives in conformity with dharma, without disturbing other devatas, and we offer oblations through rituals to devatas, and devatas will protect us. This, if we are protective of dharma, and dharma will protect you in return. If I respect, and I will be respected. If I support, I'll be supported. There's the order. Is it mutual? So here devatas are known as protectors. Traha stands for protectors. Protectors of the worshippers. Protector of the worshipper. Yajantam. Objective case of yajat shabdaha. Yajantam trayate iti yajatraha. Yajantam trayate yaha saha yajatraha. The one who protects the worshipper. యజతః త్రాయతే త్రాయంతే ఇతి యజత్రాః. దేవాస్ ఆర్ దోస్ హూ ప్రొటెక్ట్ ది వర్షిపర్స్, నోన్ అస్ యజత్రాః. సో హియర్ అడ్రెస్సింగ్ ది దేవాస్ యాస్ యజత్రాః, ఓ ది ప్రొటెక్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది వర్షిపర్స్. If we worship devatas, we will definitely be protected by devatas, no doubt. How can we worship? By when we offer oblations, express our gratitude to devatas, acknowledging their help in our living, for our livelihood. Then we express our gratitude to devatas. Expression of one's gratefulness to devatas is worship. And to be grateful, we also live our lives in conformity with dharma. We do not disturb the devatas. Devatas will be very pleased and they will protect us by blessing us with all forms of prosperity. Therefore, devatas are said to be yajatraha. Now we are addressing the, hey devatas, may you bless us with all auspiciousness. May we see only auspicious things through our eyes. Hey devaha, hey yatraha, may we hear only auspicious things, may we see only auspicious things through our eyes. May we not hear anything inauspicious, may we not see anything inauspicious. May we not see or hear anything which will distract us from our commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. May we not see anything inauspicious which will disturb us in our study of the Shastram, which will prevent us from attaining what we need to achieve. Therefore, that is the meaning. భద్రం కన్నే విష్ణునుయామదేవాః భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః. ద నెక్స్ట్ ప్రేయర్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ వాట్ వి సీక్ ది హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ దేవతాస్ టు హ్యావ్ దమః మాస్టరీ ఓవర్ అవర్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. వి వాంట్ టు హ్యావ్ మాస్టరీ ఓవర్ అవర్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. We make efforts. We also seek Bhagavan's grace. Bhagavan in the form of devatas. To have mastery over our sense organs. So we see, may all the external situation be conducive, supportive for our pursuit of knowledge. But repeat, you have to say, if you feel disturbed, please do understand and chant Om. Bhadram karne bhishro nuyama devaha Bhadram pashyema akshabharyajatraha Bhadram pashyema akshabhihi Pashyema akshabhihi Savarna Dirgha Sandhi Akshabhihi యజత్రాహ అక్షభర్ యజత్రాహ విసర్గ సంధి వెట్టు సి ఇన్ ద క్లాస్. ఓకే, నెక్స్ట్ సెంటెన్స్. నెక్స్ట్ ఈస్ అ ప్రేయర్. ప్రేయర్ ఫార్ లాంజెవిటీ, ప్రేయర్ ఫార్ లాంగ్ లైఫ్. సి, వి హ్యావ్ ఆల్ ద రైట్ టు ప్రే ఫార్ లాంగ్ లైఫ్. వి కెన్ ప్రే because human life, longest life a human being can live is for 120 years. 100 years shastram says, 100 years and dharma shastram says we can live for 120 years if we live our lives properly, eat the correct food, do proper things what we should be doing. If we maintain our health, if we follow that, if we live a disciplined life, definitely we can live for 120 years maximum. 100 years we can live for maximum. And why do we need to pray for a long life? Recently I had a very beautiful interaction with a great Dharma Shastrajna, amazing great scholar. And he was telling why we should pray for long life. It is foolish not to ask for long life. We can ask, because once you got a human shariram, it's a very precious. Human birth is very, very precious. And before, we must have a good health to live a life of dharma. You see, for only for maintaining dharma, preserving dharma, for us to live dharma, we need good physical health. And for us to be able to accomplish our ends also, we need a long life. Therefore, it is any intelligent person must pray for long life. What is ordained by Partha is a different thing, but we nothing wrong in praying. Because before our Partha ends, or before the allowed span of life comes to an end, definitely we can accomplish what we need to accomplish, and for which we must pray for long life, so that we can contribute abundantly for dharma protection. See, for contributing, we must be involved in dharma, and for which we need a long life, and long life must be healthy life. Therefore, here the prayer here is sthiraihi angaihi. Sthirairangai istushtuvagam sastanubhihi. Vedic culture emphasizes that we must pray for long life. Whether we are blessed with the long life or not doesn't matter. We must pray for long, healthy life. Okay? So here, sthiraihi angaihi. With strong limbs. Sthira means a firm, strong. Anga means limb. O Lord, may you bless us with strong limbs. So enjoying strong limbs. Tushtuvam saha. Tushtuvagam sastanu bihi. If you break it, tushtuvagam sas means tushtuvam saha. Tushtuvagamsas means tushtuvamsaha. Tushtuvamsaha means praising, glorifying. How? Glorifying whom? Glorifying the Lord, praising the Lord. Sthiraihi angaihi tushtuvamsaha. Tushtuvagam sas. If you take it correctly, the correct final meaning is what? Tushtuvam saha. Praising, glorifying. With what? Tanubihi. Tanubihi. Tanuhu. Tanubihi. Tanu. Tanuhu literally means a body form. But here tanu means a hymn of praise. It's called tanu. Tanubihi, with the hymns of praise. Glorifying you, O Lord, with the hymns of praise. Tanubihi tushtuvam saha. Sthirairangai is tushtuvagam sastanubihi. So, vyashema, vyashema, may we spend. May we spend, literally it means, vyashema literally means may we spend. May we spend what? May we spend the span of life. May we have. May we spend the time. Vyashema. What? Devahit yad ayuhu. Ayuhu, the span of life. The total span of life. And who determines your span of life? Bhagavan only. Bhagavan in the form of law and order determines our span of life. Therefore, devahitam In this context, the word hitam does not mean good. In this context, the word hitam means ordained, determined. Deva means Bhagavan, the Lord. So Lord ordained span of life is called Deva Hitam Ayuhu. Yad Ayuhu Deva Hitam. The span of life which has been determined by the Lord, ordained by Bhagavan, Vyashema may we spend. Deva Hitam Yad Ayuhu Yad Vyashema. Tadvyashema. May we spend that span of life ordained by Bhagavan. How should we spend a span of life? How should we live the span of life ordained by Bhagavan? Enjoying healthy limbs. Sthiraihi angaihi. With the healthy limbs. Singing or glorifying the Lord with the hymns of praise. Tanubihi. Tushtu vamsaha stiraihi angaihi yad ayuhu devahitam tadvyashema. This is the close order of the sentence. So may, O Lord, may we live our lives enjoying strong healthy limbs, praising you with hymns of praise. May we spend this span of life ordained by the Lord, by you. Sthirai rangai istushtu vagam sastanu bihi vyashema devahitai yadayuhu. This is the beautiful prayer. We should not hesitate. Repeatedly, if you feel physically, mentally not okay, please do repeat this mantra. Sthirai rangai istushtu vagam sastanu bihi vyashema devahitai yadayuhu. One sentence, okay, complete sentence, do not break it. Sthirai rangai istushtu vagam sastanu bihi vyashema devahitai yadayuhu. Complete. Then, swasti na indro vriddhashravah, swasti na posha vishvavedah. I request you another 10 minutes to complete this. I know the time is over. Swasti na indro vriddhashravah. Now, we seek the grace of Bhagavan in the form of Indraha. Indraha is the name of a devata representing physical prowess. So, may Indra devata bless us with auspiciousness. And Indra devata is well known in all the Vedas because most of the oblations offered is for Indra. Therefore, Indraha is a well-known devata in the Veda, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda. Therefore, may the well-known Vriddhashravaha, the well-known popular Indra devata, the most popular Indra devata, bless us with auspiciousness. We don't have long complete sentences. The sentence is very incomplete. Only words are there. We have to get the complete meaning. Swasti also means Bhadram. Swasti is another expression for Bhadram. Swasti, swasti na indro vriddhashravaha. Naha means forest to us. Indraha, vriddhashravaha indraha. Naha, swasti means may Indra devata bless us with auspiciousness. May Indra devata bless us with conducive atmosphere that we are able to pursue our knowledge. We are able to study the scripture without any obstacle. Swastinav posha vishvavedaha. And here vishvavedaha, vishva means all. Vishvavedaha means the one who is known to all. is called Vishvavedaha. The one who is known to all the beings is Vishvavedaha. And who is the one who is known to all the beings? Who is Vishvavedaha? Sun. Suryaha. And Suryaha is known by the term Pusha. Pusha Suryaha. So may Surya Devata bless us with all auspiciousness. May Surya Devata, known to all the beings, bless us with all Devata, all auspiciousness. May all knowing Sun bless us with all auspiciousness. May the Sun, who is known to all the beings, bless us with all auspiciousness. Nobody, no being in the world can say, I do not know who the Sun is. Vishvavedaha. And why Sun is called Pusha? Poshayati iti Pusha. Poshayati iti Pusha. Pusha is actually Nakarantaha Pullingaha Pushan Shabdaha. In nominative, Pusha. May Surya Devata bless us with auspiciousness. Naha Pusha Swasti. And because the Sun Poshayati, how does Sun nourish all the beings? Poshayati nourishes. May the Pusha means nourisher. Poshayati nourishes. And Pusha nourisher. Sun alone. Sun being the source of energy. Sun alone remaining in the form of nutrients of all the plants nourishes all living beings. So the life we live is because of the energy we enjoy. All activities, attainment of knowledge, perception of the world, activities, physical activities, all functions are possible because of the Shakti, Prana Shakti. And all Prana Shakti is because of the food we eat. And the food is because of the plants. And the plants are because of the solar energy converted into plant energy. Therefore, the energy, the source of energy is Suryaha. Therefore, solar energy alone is in the form of plant energy, then food energy, then physical energy, intellectual energy, all our energies. Therefore, we see may Surya Bhagavan, the source of all energy, the energizer of all beings, enlivener of all beings, who energizes and enlivens all beings, remaining in the form of nutrients, bless us with all auspiciousness. So, Pusha Naha Swasti. Swasti Nav Pusha Vishvavedaha. Vishvavedaha is adjective of Pusha. Pushan Shabdaha. Nakaranta Shabdaha. Nominative Pusha. Swasti Nav Pusha Vishvavedaha. Swasti Nastakshyo Arishtanemihi. Then, Swasti Naha Tarkshyaha. Tarkshyaha is name of Garuda. Garuda is eagle. Eagle in Sanskrit is called Garudaha. And Garuda, eagle, is also known as Tarkshyaha. Because he is son of Trikshya. Son of Trikshya. Therefore, Tarkshyaha. May Garudaha, the eagle. Eagle, bird eagle, which our culture is known as Devata. Look at this, Garuda Devata. The simple bird eagle is looked upon as Devata. Why? Garuda is known for its elegance. And it's the flight of Garuda is known for its elegance. But may Bhagavan in the form of eagle, Garudaha, always known as Tarkshyaha, blesses with auspiciousness. May Bhagavan in the form of Devata, a Garuda, eagle, blesses with auspiciousness. Because the adjective, beautiful adjective for the word Vaina, the Tarkshyaha, Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemi. Arishtanemihi means the one who is of unobstructed elegant flight. The one who is of unobstructed flight. I do not know, but I heard people telling, suppose any aircraft comes, if eagle flies, eagle aircraft has to move away, eagle will not move. Okay. The eagle can fly very at a height, still from there it can see the snake crawling on the floor. Come from such a height, it can come and grab it. We have limitation of our eyes. No, we cannot see. We have there's a range. How far we can see? Our range is very limited. Eagle can fly very high. From there, it can see the snakes crawling. Amazing. You see what sort of power of seeing it has. Therefore, eagle is known for its unobstructed flight. Nothing can obstruct when it is flying, its flight. Therefore, may Bhagavan in the form of Tarkshya, Garuda Devata, eagle, who is of unobstructed flight, bless us with all auspiciousness. May our pursuit of knowledge be obstruction free, obstacle free. Is it clear? Swastinah Pusha Vishvavedah Swastinastarksho Arishtanemihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu. No, Brihaspatihi, Jupiter. Jupiter is a planet, but we look at it as Devata. May Bhagavan in the form of Brihaspatihi, Jupiter, bless us with all auspiciousness. Jupiter is said to be the Lord of Devas, Guru of Devas. And Guru of Asuras is Shukra. Guru of Devas is Brihaspati. So Devata Guru, you know, Sura Guru, Asura Guru. Sura Guru is Brihaspati. Guru of Suras. So may Brihaspatihi, the Guru of all Devatas, bless us with auspiciousness. Here, when we invoke the grace of any natural phenomenon, we invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of that phenomenon. And we actually seek Bhagavan's grace in many natural phenomena for us to be blessed with auspiciousness. Naha swasti, naha swasti, naha swasti, naha swasti means auspiciousness for us. See, actually auspiciousness means happiness. And happiness is, knowledge is happiness. So may Bhagavan bless us with auspiciousness means may Bhagavan bless us with happiness. May Bhagavan bless us with happiness means may Bhagavan bless us with the knowledge of the truth. May Bhagavan bless us with a clear vision of the truth. Thereby may we have right perspective of everything. May we enjoy the benefit of having right perspective of the self and the world, which is moksha. Okay. So may Bhagavan in the form of all these devatas bless us with auspiciousness means bless us with happiness, bless us with the knowledge, bless us with the moksha. And which means may our study of the scripture be obstacle free so that we can accomplish this end. So now each devata is given a beautiful adjective. Indraha Vriddhashravaha Indraha. Vishwavedaha Pusha. Arishtanemihi Tarkshyaha. Three adjectives. We'll see I have given the literal meaning of the whole mantra. Next week, a little say more about it, then I'll conclude. Okay. Om Bhadram Karne Vishwanuyama Deva Bhadram Pashye Maksha Bharijatra Sthirai Rangai Istushtu Vagam Sastanu Bihi Vyashema Deva Hitayadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha Swastina Starkshyo Arishtanimihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.